Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. Tom Meredith, your host this morning. Thanks for being with us. An event coming to the Orpheum Theater. It is a documentary called The Ghost Army. And what an incredibly interesting story that we're going to find out more about this morning, more about the documentary, and more about the life of the gentleman who co-authored the book and is a producer of the documentary. Joining us this morning, and he will be in town for the presentation at the Orpheum Theater. Rick Beyer joining us this morning. Rick, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you this morning, Tom?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us here this morning and taking some time. I know you're kind of basically you're kind of out on tour, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing a little swing of events. I'm down in Tennessee, and then we'll be coming up your way. But we're very excited about the event in Galesburg. That's one that's been marked on the calendar for a long time, and I'm really excited to be coming there.
Rick Beyer joining us, and the Ghost Army. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to get a little bit of background on you, Rick, because you spend most of your time out east now, but you're kind of a native of our general vicinity here in the Midwest, from suburban Chicago on the Indiana side, albeit. But you worked in Chicago among other places. Kind of tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I did work in Northeast Indiana, Northwest Indiana, as well as in Chicago. I am actually originally from New England.
Oh, you are from New England originally. Okay, got it.
But I came out as a young, impressionable person to the Midwest, and it left its mark on me, and I found a bride there in Chicago. But I worked I was a journalist, radio journalist, and then a TV news producer in the Chicago area for a number of years. Ended up going back east, worked in TV news there, worked in advertising for a while. And I would say that it was probably, I was around 40 when I kind of found my calling, a little late in life, I guess, but which is telling history stories and doing it through documentary, through books that I've written, through magazine articles, through talks and presentations. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years and absolutely in love with it.
Well, kind of an interesting transition, because you said you did some news and then you were a producer on the radio side in Chicago, then a producer on the television side at Channel 7 in Chicago, then in Boston. How did that whole transition, had you always been doing some writing and been kind of a historian or a historical buff?
Well, I've always been interested in history. Since I was a little boy, my dad, who was a physics professor, not a historian, but he also was very interested in history. We had a lot of history books around the house. And so I always loved reading about history and talking about history, but I never really considered it as a kind of a professional opportunity until in 1997, I got my company got hired to do a job making a series of history minutes for the History Channel called Time Lab 2000, hosted by Sam Waterston, and we made 208 history minutes and telling kind of little history stories with a surprise ending, true stories that you might not really believe. A story like how three cigars changed the course of the Civil War, and through doing that series, I thought, this is really what I was meant to be doing. I'm taking my skills as a TV writer and producer. I'm taking my love of history. I'm putting them together. I'm in heaven. So I got to find a way to keep doing this. And that's how it got started.
Well, and somewhere in that transition, you became a New York Times bestselling author as well. Did you probably, I'm guessing that was not even in the back of your mind when kind of making that transition.
No, I didn't, no, never really considered that as a possibility. But once we made those history minutes, I thought, well, this would make a good book, to do with these history stories. And that led to the book writing and the first series of books I did, The Greatest Stories Never Told. And it was while I was working on those books that I was introduced to someone who told me about the Ghost Army story, the story that we're going to be showing the documentary about in Galesburg. And that's the thing, I guess, that really changed my life, because that was 13 years ago, and I'm still working on it in one way or another.
Rick Beyer joining us here this morning. He is a New York Times best-selling author and award-winning documentary producer, and he co-wrote the book The Ghost Army and produced the documentary that first showed on PBS back in 2013. Now, I guess, kind of traveling the country. It'll be shown at the Orpheum Theater coming up on Thursday night. Rick will be there. Is afterwards, is it kind of a Q&A, Rick, that you'll be doing, or...?
Absolutely. So I'll introduce the film. I'll do Q&A afterwards. I probably will present a couple of other interesting facets of the story. And I believe, Tom, that we're going to have a Ghost Army veteran there, because we have a veteran who lives not far away. And we were talking about pronouncing towns, so I'm undoubtedly going to get this wrong. But he's in McQuan.
Yep, that's Illinois. Correct. McQuan, yes.
All right, McQuan, Illinois. Harold Flynn, who was in the Sonic Deception part of the Ghost Army, and who is 95, I think. And he is going to be, I believe, if he's feeling up to it, he's going to be there that night. And so that'll be exciting as well. We have a sort of our special guests. Really, our special guests are two inflatable tanks that I'm bringing with. To give people an idea of how these deceptions were carried out with some of the methodologies that they used to carry out these deceptions to fool the Germans.
And by the way, coming up on Monday morning, we're going to have some tickets to give away to the event at the Orpheum, just sort of the documentary and the event. So we'll be doing that coming up on Monday morning here. Rick Beyer joining us, New York Times bestselling author, award-winning documentary producer, and he'll be here on Thursday night. His documentary, The Ghost Army, will be showing at the Orpheum Theater. Before we get in more about the Ghost Army, you're an author. You have your newest book is called Rivals Unto Death, Hamilton and Burr. And I guess this is more of what led to the duel. Is that kind of what the gist of it is?
Right. So I had a book came out last year called Rivals Unto Death, and it's basically a short look at the 30-year rivalry between Hamilton and Burr. And, of course, a whole lot has been written about this subject. And I hear tell somebody made a musical theater piece out of it.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, something there. And so, but this is kind of taking the story and looking at their rivalry and how it started in the Revolution and kind of what happens, what is the 30 years that leads up to the duel? Because it's not really about what happens in the 10 days or 3 weeks before the duel. It's sort of the whole arc of their relationship, and so that's a book that is my most recent book, and I've also done a lot of speaking about that as well, because it's a fascinating topic. I mean, I always point out at the beginning of that book that 1 week before the duel, they were sitting next to each other at a gala July 4th dinner and acting to all the world like there's no problem. And what can make you so enraged at someone that the only way to deal with it is to have a shootout with them, and yet you know you're going to be doing that, and yet you can just sit and have an enjoyable dinner with them 1 week before that. So that is the riddle that in that book, Rivals Unto Death, I was trying to get at and solve or understand. And it's hard. It's hard to figure that.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it was such a long-standing feud. I didn't realize the relationship had gone on that long. So it must have started pretty early in life for the both of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a long-standing feud. The feud developed later on, but certainly a long-standing relationship. Long-standing rivalry. They're both lawyers in New York City. They're both kind of young men on the make, and they end up in different political parties, and a number of things divide them. And there's a lot of parts of it that people don't know, even with Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical. For example, Aaron Burr, on two different occasions, arguably saved Alexander Hamilton's life. So it's a very complex story, and one really worth for me, it was really worth spending the time exploring, and I think that's why it's been so popular over the years.
Well, it's a good thing times have changed and there's no more political rivalry. Okay, maybe it's just a good thing there's no duels anymore, I guess.
Yes, well, I'm a historian, so I'm only here to talk about the past.
There you go. There you go. Rick Beyer joining us. Rick Beyer joining us, New York Times bestselling author. He'll be here Thursday. If you'd like to check out more information on Rick, you can check out his website, rickbeyer.net. It's B-E-Y-E-R. And to find out all the information about the Ghost Army and the rest of his works as well. I'm guessing with your books, the usual places, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, those types of places?
Absolutely. Yeah, everything's available on Amazon. It's the easiest way to find it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Rick, we're going to get more into the story about the Ghost Army and this whole just an incredible. And I know there's probably a lot of people that knew about this, but until Kevin Maynard from the Orpheum mentioned it to me and mentioned the documentary coming, I had never heard anything about it. And I wish I would have known that there was a veteran of that group that was nearby. It's an absolutely amazing story, and we're going to get a lot of details on that coming up for you as well. So again, what anything else new that you're working on at this point in your career?
You know, my big focus right now has been the Ghost Army, and I know we'll talk about that story. But you know, having made the documentary and co-authored the book, we're also doing a Ghost Army tour. And I've also started a Ghost Army nonprofit to preserve and honor the legacy of the unit. So I have a few projects that aren't Ghost Army related that I'm trying to get to. But I always say that I'm never quite sure whether I'm holding on to the Ghost Army or the Ghost Army is holding on to me.
There you go. Did I read somewhere, and maybe you can't talk, is there a possibility of a feature film in the works about this story?
Yes. So I can tell you that... That our book and documentary were optioned by a couple of the producers of the movie American Sniper, including actor Bradley Cooper, and they have been working on a Hollywood film on that, and seem to be making some progress. But that's about all I can tell you. It's still in the works, and those things are long gestation period and. You never really know if it's going to happen or not. But knock on wood, it seems to be still moving along the track, and I'm optimistic that we might hear some news soon on where that's going. So, yeah, that would be really exciting. I think it would be a great story for the Hollywood screen.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and hopefully, obviously, there will be some embellishments. I know they do that sometimes in Hollywood, but hopefully they would. I mean, because I think the story speaks for itself, though, that you don't really have to embellish too much.
Well, this is, and we haven't even hardly talked about it, but
right.
It's an amazing World War II story of battlefield deception. So, yeah, I don't think it needs a lot of embellishment, but of course they have to make a story out of it, and they have to have a lead character, and you know, knowing Hollywood, I'm sure they'll want to have a love interest and all that stuff. So. I think that I'll be really happy on that score if they get the basic underlying story right so that people want to find out about it and know more. Because it truly is, Tom, one of the most amazing stories, pieces of material that I've ever come across.
It is really, really incredible. Not even knowing a lot about it, just the little bit I know, I'm still kind of dumbfounded that it actually happened. Rick Beyer is our guest. We're going to take a break here, get an update on news. We're going to talk more about this event, more about the documentary and the book, The Ghost Army, coming to the Orpheum Theater on Thursday night. Rick Beyer, New York Times bestselling author, award-winning documentary producer, joining us this morning. We'll come back with more. This is Galesburg Live.
To WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Thanks for being with us here this morning. Orpheum Theater, Thursday night, documentary, The Ghost Army. Not only will you be able to see the documentary, you'll be able to get a chance to talk with the co-author of the book, also the producer of the documentary, Rick Beyer, New York Times bestselling author, award-winning documentary producer, joining us here this morning, and he'll be here on Thursday. Rick, again, thanks for being with us. So let's talk a little bit more about the Ghost Army. And, you know, we were just talking off the air a little bit how it's so strange that not many people know, or not enough people know this story or know about the story, when in fact your book was out, and not that people didn't read it, but your book was out, the documentary came out in 2013. I'm not sure where we missed it along the way. Why? Any explanation or thoughts on why maybe that is just, and especially such an interesting story, why it hasn't gotten the widespread attention?
Well, let's start out by saying that this is a story that was kept secret for more than 50 years after World War II. And so it didn't get into any of the sort of the well-known history books. It didn't get taught in the classrooms. It didn't get talked about in any way. And so I think that, we have managed through the documentary and book to make it a better known story, but it really was not well known up until very, very recently. And it's an incredible story because it's a story of deception being carried out on the battlefield. So the Ghost Army is a nickname for a U.S. Army unit called the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. And this unit used inflatable tanks, and yes, work that over in your mind for a moment again, inflatable tanks and artillery, sound effects, impersonation, and other forms of illusion to fool the Germans on the battlefields of Europe, to fool them about where American forces were. And, Tom, there's going to be some people in your audience who are going to say, oh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the D-Day deception, Operation Fortitude. And that was a great deception. But this is actually something different. This is an American unit that goes into action after D-Day and is using all of these methodologies to fool the Germans, but doing it on the battlefield, doing it sometimes within a few hundred yards of the front line, doing it when they're being shelled by the enemy, and trying to carry off these deceptions to fool the Germans, and doing it not once and not twice, but doing it 21 different times, starting a couple of weeks after D-Day and going until the crossing of the Rhine River in March 1945. So that's what makes it such an incredible story.
Well, obviously, we don't want to give away the entire documentary or the book, which you can find still on Amazon.com.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We could tell the whole story. It's still fascinating.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, so let me ask you the idea that came for it, and did they get? I mean, where do you go for this? Do you find people within the Army, or do you go to Hollywood and say, hey, we need some help with something?
Well, first of all, the idea, it was dreamed up by a couple of officers named Ralph Ingersoll and Billy Harris. And really, it kind of an interesting combination because Ingersoll was a civilian drafted into the Army. He was a celebrity author, publisher, writer, kind of a left-wing journalist guy, drafted into the Army. And Billy Harris was a West Point graduate, a lifetime Army guy who ended up becoming a general. And so the two of them together, working in the Special Plans Branch of the European Theater of Operations in late 1943, dreamed up this idea. And I think it kind of really benefits from being a civilian-military partnership, that you get a little bit of both, the best of both working together to make this happen. And then they have to put this unit together incredibly quickly. They really don't get the final approval for it until, Christmas Eve 1943. It's got to be ready to go by June 1944. You do the math, it's less than 6 months. So they take pre-existing Army units and assign them the different tasks. So for the visual deception, they take a camouflage unit that has already been in existence, the 603rd Camouflage Engineers. For radio deception, they take an existing radio unit. They'd been training a sonic deception unit already. So they put all these units together into this one force called the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. And I think one of the most interesting units was that camouflage unit, that visual deception unit, because many of the men in that unit were artists who the Army had specifically recruited. They recruited through art schools, primarily in New York and Pennsylvania, but also in the Midwest and in the places like Colorado. And these artists, they wanted them to do to do camouflage because, you know, you want an artist's eye to do camouflage. But now they're not going to be doing camouflage anymore. They're doing deception, which is kind of the flip side of camouflage, right? Now we're trying to attract attention with fake tanks instead of hiding real tanks. But these artists in their spare time also paint and sketch their way through Europe, which is a whole other aspect of this story. You know, it has nothing to do with their deception mission, but there's this body of work created by men who were in this unit that kind of give us a visual documenting of their story. And I find that to be kind of a fascinating subplot to the story of the Ghost Army. So they put all these units together really pretty quickly. They barely have time to train. Some of the training goes on here in Tennessee, where I am right now. And then they head out on the boat to England. And the thing is that they don't even really know if what they're going to do is going to work. They don't have a really great doctrine put together because the U.S. Army's never really done this before. They're using new technology in their sonic deception that nobody's ever used before. So they are literally going to be going to the battlefield and trying it out under fire and see if it works with their lives at stake, but also the lives of, you know, thousands of other American soldiers at stake. And that's what, you know, I keep saying something makes it an incredible story. That's another thing that makes it an incredible story.
Rick Beyer joining us. He is the producer of the documentary. The Ghost Army will be showing at the Orpheum Theater coming up on Thursday night. Rick will be there as well. He's a New York Times bestselling author, award-winning documentary producer. So how many, Rick, in this unit, how many troops were there?
There were 1,100 soldiers in the unit. And it sounds like a lot, right? But they had the capability of pretending to be essentially 30,000 soldiers. So they had the capability, and they did it in their very last deception, of pretending to be two entire divisions with tanks and artillery and all the stuff that those divisions would have, when in fact this unit had nothing of that sort. They didn't have anything more, you know, heavier than a 50 caliber machine gun. But they had all these dummies. They also had, I talked about sonic deception. Great story here. They recorded sound effects before they left the United States. They did it at the Army Proving Ground at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And they had sounds of tanks on the move, sounds of trucks on the move, sounds of soldiers digging in, bridge building, etc. So not battle sounds, but preparation sounds. So they could play these sounds at night and, you know, kind of make it seem like somebody's moving in. And then in the morning, if they send a reconnaissance plane over, they're going to see tanks because they look real, but in fact they're inflatable. So it's a carefully coordinated plan to put all these phony messages out there and convince the enemy that, oh, the 75th Division is here, when in fact the real 75th is going to be attacking them from 10 miles away.
You mentioned that there was a lot of different artists recruited. Was that at all with this program in mind, or was that just for the camouflage side of things?
No, that was for the camouflage. They really didn't know at the point that they recruited these guys that they were going to be doing this deception mission. It's something that developed really in 1943, and the camouflage unit was already, you know, had already been together for a year at this point. So they didn't know, but they were literally in this state in late 1943 or early 1944 going, oh my goodness, we are going to put this deception unit together. Who do we get to operate it? And they just sort of had to improvise, and that's how they improvised.
Rick Beyer is our guest this morning here on Galesburg Live, the documentary The Ghost Army. What an incredible story. It's coming to the Orpheum Theater on Thursday night. You can go to that. You get a chance to have a little Q&A and learn some other things about this this whole unit and what happened during World War II, as Rick will be there coming up on Thursday night. Take a quick break here.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
This is Galesburg Live. Our guest this morning, New York Times best-selling author, award-winning documentary producer. He was the co-author of the book The Ghost Army and produced the documentary that's coming to the Orpheum Theater on Thursday night. Rick Beyer joining us. Rick, this is such an incredible story, but I guess one of the biggest questions, why? Why did this happen? Was it just was it that we didn't have enough troops, or we wanted to look like we had more troops? What was the whole purpose of this deception?
Well, you know, when Eisenhower was planning the D-Day invasion, he wanted every advantage possible, right? He's going up against the German army, which is, you know, possibly one of the most frightening fighting forces in history at that point in time. And they're concerned that it might be a close thing, that it might, you know, they might run into some real challenges. And the ghost army, this form of deception, is what the military people refer to as a force multiplier, right? So it makes it seem like you have more men than you really have, and you can use it in specific instances. So that if there's a specific, you know, there's one deception that the ghost army does where Patton has raced across France and he's attacking the fortress city of Metz, but in trying to really attack the German stronghold there, he's left open and unguarded a 25-mile section of his line to the north. And so you'd like to move another unit there, but to move an actual armored or infantry unit can be really time-consuming because it's so many men. The Ghost Army can move quicker. So they race him there in overnight from Paris, and they basically set up and pretend to be the 6th Armored Division there along the Moselle River, so that the Germans won't realize that there's a gap there and that they might try to get behind Patton. So it's just for that kind of circumstance that this was created. You know, I interviewed Wesley Clark for this film, and one of the things he said, I don't think we used it in the film, but it has stayed with me, is that every army practices deception, and if they don't, they're going to lose, and they know it. And so this is just a way, it's deception is old, it's been used a lot, but this was a new way of using it and a way of just trying to give us every advantage possible going up against the Wehrmacht.
Well, I suppose you go back to, I guess, the Trojan horse would be considered deception in that respect.
Yes, I always
right?
say, though, the Trojan horse worked great once.
Right.
You never hear about that second time
right.
with the Trojan horse because it would have failed. And that one of the things about the Ghost Army is it's a deception designed, if it's done correctly, to be able to be used time after time after time. It's like a magic trick that you can keep doing and people don't figure it out. And that's part of the magic of the Ghost Army.
Well, as you said, I mean, deception is part of it. But when whoever was went to Eisenhower with this idea, was he very receptive right off the bat? Or was it like, are you crazy? That won't work.
Well, it's actually set in motion before Eisenhower became the commander of the European Theater of Operations. And the guy that it was brought to is a general most people have never heard of these days called Jake Devers. And he was receptive to it. And it does seem like a crazy idea. You know, how did that pitch go in the room?
Right.
he was receptive to it. And when Eisenhower came in and he was in January 44 and he's briefed on it, he immediately gave this unit a very high priority. He wanted them there. He wanted to have that capability. And I think both Eisenhower and Patton is very involved in this story, both Eisenhower and Patton really understood how important this kind of deception capability could be and wanted to have it in their arsenal.
Rick Beyer joining us. The documentary is The Ghost Army. You know, one of the amazing things for the time, the special effects, that couldn't have been easy to pull off in any way, shape, or form at that point in history.
No, the special effects, I would say it's their fourth dimension of deception. So after you have the visual and the radio and the sonic, special effects was actual impersonation. So if we're pretending to be the 6th Armored Division, our guys are going to wear fake 6th Armored Division patches that we're going to cook up in our factory section. And we're going to put 6th Armored Division markings on our trucks and drive them back and forth through the towns behind the lines. And we're going to set up phony headquarters for a 6th Armored Division commander. And we're going to take some major, and we're going to put general stars on him and have him driving in and out of his headquarters. All of this show for any German spies left behind. And so special effects is sort of unbelievable that they did it. You mean that they have guys who are captains and majors impersonating generals on the battlefield in Europe? Yes, they did. And they did it, and it worked. And So it's putting all of these things together that made it successful, and then they kept it secret. You know, that secret was pretty well kept, with a couple of exceptions, for almost 50 years, and people didn't know about it. But we're making sure that they know about it now, because it is an amazing story, and I really think we owe these guys a debt of gratitude.
Oh, absolutely. So, as you said, they recorded all the sound at Fort Knox, of everything, not just the artillery, but the building of bridges and just the sounds that you would hear any time of day or night, and so somebody was there hearing it. So how did, I'm guessing just whatever PA speakers were available at the time, they were, these sounds were just being put out that way, or?
Yeah, they recorded them onto glass transcription discs, like they would make a hit record, and then they had a sound effects library, then they would record the specific show that they wanted, what effects in what order, to a wire. Believe it or not, it's the predecessor of a tape recorder, is a wire recorder, recording on magnetized wire. I'll bring some with me to show people at our event on Thursday. And then they would play these from half tracks with specially mounted 500-pound speakers, Jensen speakers up there, that supposedly had a range of about 15 miles, although in my research, as I've gone out to the battlefields where these guys operated, they frequently shoved them up real close, 500 yards, 1,000 yards from the front line. They really wanted the sound to be heard by the enemy. And in some, I think sonic deception was kind of one of their most effective kinds of deception, because it plays on your mind. You know, it's you're hearing sounds at night, and your mind starts to build a picture of what might be there, and it really plays on your imagination. And so I think that's why it was so effective.
What an amazing story, the Ghost Army, and people need to hear this. It's pretty amazing. Do you know, Rick, how many of the members of that unit are still living?
Yeah, very few. So there are probably about 20 soldiers in the unit still living. We actually were just in Europe last week. We dedicated the first ever Ghost Army historical marker in Europe, so that was very exciting that our nonprofit, the Ghost Army Legacy Project, organized with funding assistance from some other folks, that's one of the things that really impels me to want to tell the story, to do documentary screenings, to speak about it, is that there's so few of these guys left, and I want them to be getting some kind of gratitude and appreciation while they're still alive, and because they will all be gone soon, and that also is the thing that impels me to keep working to learn their stories, to gather their photos and their artifacts, and keep trying to preserve this story for future generations.
Rick Beyer, New York Times best-selling author, award-winning documentary producer, and he was the co-author of the book, The Ghost Army, and the documentary. Who's produced that, The Ghost Army, coming to the Orpheum Theater on Thursday night. Rick will be there as well. You get a chance to chat and listen to some other stories about this. Rick is just such an amazing, incredible story. And one of the things you mentioned, that the patches and everything from the 6th Armored Division, but they had their own Ghost Army patch for their uniforms too, didn't they?
Well, they never wore their own.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah,
insignia. They did put something on the cover of their official history that looks like a patch, and some people have made insignia out of that. But they never wore that because they're always pretending to be somebody else. They're ghosts, Tom.
That's true. Yeah,
they're there and they flit away. And I think it'll be a really exciting night on Thursday. Really excited to be there. And as I said, you not only get to see the documentary, but we're bringing a couple of replica inflatable tanks, life-size, see what they look like and enjoy the experience.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be really interesting. Hopefully we'll get a whole lot of people at the Orpheum to check this out. And again, you can see Rick's works, including and purchase those, including the Ghost Army, also his new book, Rivals Unto Death, Hamilton and Burr, Amazon.com. Again, Rick's website, Rick Beyer, that's Beyer, rickbeyer.net, and find out more about Rick. Rick, thank you so much for taking some time this morning. Really looking forward to Thursday night. What an incredible story.
My pleasure, Tom. Looking forward to being there. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It is 8:59. This is Galesburg Live.